And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Voices from the Grid. I'm Michael Lindebaum, and I'm being joined by one of my several co-hosts, Mr. Pink Ranger, Ben Taylor.
Nope.
Ben.
I told you, I'm not doing it.
We discussed this. We said...
No, you said...
You're doing the episode.
I am not, and you can't make me.
Ben... We talked about this. You agreed to do this episode.
I agreed to nothing. And if you think you can pressure me into participating in this farce, you can talk to my lawyer.
I talked to your lawyer. And A, she's not a lawyer. She's a barista in law school. And B, she said you're doing the episode.
Oh.
Yeah. So let's get on with it.
Oh, I'm not doing it. If we don't record this episode, he's gone. Tommy Oliver is gone forever. I can save Power Rangers. No more with the ponytail-laden specter hanging over the franchise. The show can move on. Adam Park can finally get his due as the best Power Ranger. The cast of seasons recorded 20-plus years after the character is introduced won't be completely overshadowed by him when he's in a single episode of a 40-episode season. This is it, Mike. Don't you see? This is where we can change the course of Power Rangers history forever. We can eliminate Tommy Oliver. All we have to do is not bring him back.
Ben, you can't. What the f- Sasha? Brian? What are you doing here? This isn't scheduled to be a group recording. And since when are you traveling by portal?
And Sasha, you're this season's Red Ranger. Why aren't you wearing red? Also, why is Brian carrying what looks to be an elaborately crafted prop laser rifle? Also, why does it feel like the aforementioned portal is looking into my soul?
This isn't a prop, and time portals tend to have that effect on people who aren't used to traveling through them.
Time portal?
Yes, time portal. We aren't the Sasha and Brian that you know. We're from the future.
Oh, very good. Pull the other one. It's got bells on.
No, seriously, dude. We're Sasha and Brian from, like, 9 seasons from now.
So that would be...
Time Force?
Yes! We've come back with a super important message from the future.
That's right. Ben, you have to record this episode. We can't let you change the course of Voices from the Grid history. Or future, I guess, for you.
Why ever not? You dislike Tommy as much as I do, Sasha. Of all people, I thought you'd support me on this.
You just can't, okay? You just have to trust us and bring him back. We can't tell you why.
Why not?
Rules of time travel.
Yeah, no person should ever know the details about their own future or how certain events turn out, lest it causes a time paradox and destroys the universe. Or worse.
Or worse?
Or worse.
Hold on. Mike, while this admittedly very realistic thing here must have taken a lot of preparation, and I'm really not sure how you achieved that incredibly convincing portal effect in real life. And if it's all just to get me to record an episode of this podcast, but
there's no way you can possibly convince me to bring back Tommy.
Okay, how'd you do that?
We told you, dude, we're from the future. Sasha knew what you were going to say.
Oh, really? Well, if that's the case, then what...
Green.
Lucky guess. What is the...
Sodium chloride.
Okay. One more.
Redheads with glasses, the scent of vanilla, Big Spoon, and peanut butter.
Maybe you do know what I was going to say.
Look, we can do this all day, but we need to get back to the point. You have to do this episode.
You still haven't told me why.
Universe-shattering time implications and the very fabric of this podcast continuity aside, Let's focus on Power Rangers. Ben, if you don't bring Tommy back, he can't lose his powers again. He doesn't become the White Ranger. With no White Ranger, the new Ranger lineup won't have a leader. And Rocky, Adam, and Aisha will never undergo the development that they're meant to. Oh, and with no Tommy, no Dino Thunder. You know how much you like Connor, Ethan, Kyra, and Haley.
Come off it. Character development? Rocky? Aisha? Have you seen Season 2? And don't pull that Dino Thunder crap on me. Tommy's presence didn't cause Dino Thunder to happen. His presence changed nothing. Any story beats that happened to Tommy in that season could have been done by literally anybody else. In fact, Tommy's presence hurt that season more than anything else due to JDF not being on set. And what's more, Sasha agrees with me, future or not.
Yeah, he has a point. But you still have to do the podcast. I mean, with what happens to Mike...
Wait, what?
Forget I said that.
I most certainly will not.
Oh, I've got it! If Tommy doesn't come back, then he never gets kidnapped in Turbo.
Yeah, that means no TJ.
And no kidnapping means TJ doesn't save him, he doesn't leave, and then we never get TJ as the Red Ranger. Which means Tommy is still there for In Space. And not only does that mean that Andros would probably stab him, but the team that defeats Astronema may not succeed. And that means...
No Lost Galaxy. My God.
Not just No Lost Galaxy, but Ben, it means no Lightspeed Rescue.
But I love Lightspeed Rescue.
I know you do.
And it'll all be gone because you didn't do this podcast. Are you really willing to risk that?
Lightspeed Rescue. Or Tommy Oliver.
Excuse me. Can we please get back to the whole what happens to Mike thing?
Mike. Look, let's just step outside and I'll explain to you why you should just forget it, dude.
All right.
Okay, and we gotta make this fast. I have a title defense against Kimmy Omega coming up.
All right, then get on with it.
See, the reason that you should forget about it...
This is all a bit much, Sasha. Time travel? Talk of universe-shattering paradoxes? The podcast's continuity getting destroyed? The potential loss of my beloved Lightspeed Rescue. How do I know what's the right choice?
Okay. Since they're gone, and it's just you and me, I'm going to bring out the big guns. I'm going to whisper something to you. And honestly, if this doesn't convince you to do this episode, then nothing will. Okay?
Okay. Oh. Oh. Mike? Mike, we need to do this podcast now!
And our work here is done.
Right, let's get on with it. We're going to start off, Return of an Old Friend, Part 1. Everyone's favorite segment in my mind. It's the quick run through of Part 1. It's Parents' Day at the Juice Bar, and we see the Rangers' parents. Skull is filming everything, Bulk's parents arrive in destructive manner. Kim's mom shows up with her man, and then her father arrives. Drama. Reed and her minions plot to kidnap the parents, and then we see Kim is bummed about her parents' divorce. They get attacked by Putty, Zach and Jason come to help. The Dremel monster kidnaps everyone at Parents' Day. Billy arrives late and gets put under Rita's spell. Rita wants the dragon dagger. Yes, that dragon dagger. Billy arrives at the command center. He shuts down Alpha, talks smack to Zordon, and then leaves with the dragon dagger. The Rangers return to see everyone missing. They then go to the command center. Zordon briefs them. The Rangers morph into action and go to Rita's palace. They have a Putty fight in the palace, and then Goldar gets the dagger, and the spell breaks on Billy. Goldar throws down the ultimatum, the coins, or their parents. Then Goldar summons the Dragon Zord, and how does he even play it? Like, I'm so confused. Anyways, the Dragon Zord wreaks havoc on Angel Grove. The team summons their Zords, and then the Megazord fights the Dragon Zord. A fatal blow knocks the Rangers out of the Megazord, and then Goldar turns the dagger into a box. The Rangers give their coins for their parents, and then Goldar reneges and leaves with the coins. Zordon has Alpha transport the Rangers to the command center. Jason reveals the Green Ranger coin, to which then Tommy returns with the Green Ranger music and better looking hair. To be continued. Ben, this episode clocked in at 20 minutes and 19 seconds.
I don't think I actually have any timestamps in this one, so you can save those to the end.
Okay, well, I gave you the time stamp on this one anyways, just to be
cool
on the safe side.
So this is Return of an Old Friend Part 1, a.k.a. Why? Question mark. So the very first line you hear is, "Welcome to Parents' Day," right? And you see a dude wearing a blue blazer and a blue tie, glasses, walk in. And you just think, that's going to be Billy's dad. Lo and behold, that's Billy's dad. And lo and behold, his mom's wearing blue too. And Jason's dad's wearing red. Jason's mom, who's kind of hot in a weird way, is wearing red. Both of Trini's parents are wearing yellow. Kim's mom wears pink. Zach's parents wear weird black color. Why? Just why are the parents color coordinated?
Maybe they're taking after their kids?
Maybe, I don't know. Right, so all of the shenanigans with the time stuff in the beginning aside, and my reticence to bring back Tommy Oliver, this next thing might be the thing that bugs me most about this entire two-parter. Skull is filming what's going on. He's like producing like a vlog almost, right?
Yeah.
Before vlogs were really a thing, because this was the 90s. And Kaplan, Principal Kaplan, tells him to stop recording. And that bugs the hell out of me. Because A, Kaplan is always saying that Bulk and Skull need hobbies that they can focus on that aren't destructive. And B, it's a class at Kaplan School in a cleanup club that got Skull interested in videography.
Yep.
It bugs the hell out of me, man.
And not only that, but like you also look at it from the perspective of what happens later on in the episode, where like, could you imagine if Skull is actually filming that too?
Yeah. So, when they did the ground quake and mentioned Bulk and Skull's parents, and then followed by the reveal that his mom's like a big frumpy lady and his dad's like a small shrimpy kid, I legitimately, in real life, facepalmed. Especially when that was instantly followed up by Bulk and his parents getting covered in, I think it was cake or milkshake or something, right?
Yeah.
And Ernie just looks at them and shrugs. He's like, eh, whatever.
And like Bulk's father is like some like his father wasn't a big guy. His father was like a small guy, dude,
right?
Yeah.
But like he just shrugs. An independent businessman sees three of his customers covered in gack that he put there and just shrugs like it's no big deal. Who are the bullies again?
Yep.
And then forward a little bit, Zach talks to his parents a bit, stuff like that. And we get what I think from my own recollection is the first mention of the fact that Kim's parents are divorced.
This is actually the very first time we learn about Kim's parents being divorced.
I quite like that. This next, like, 2 or 3 minutes, and I'll come back to this in a minute. Actually, I'll come back to that. I'll come back to that when it happens in chronological order. So we go to the moon, because of course we do. And Rita is there hatching her latest plan. And by Rita, I mean Finster, because Finster is the brains of the operation, as we have established. There's a really cool moment when they're kind of hatching the plans, where it's a very, very brief moment right at the beginning. But Scorpina and Goldar are stood together. And you get to see Scorpina kind of playing with Goldar's hair. And it's a kind of a hint, because I know you always bring up the fact that Scorpina and Goldar in the Sentai are a couple.
Yep. And not just a couple, they're married.
Yeah. they hint to that in this, right? In that moment. It's quite a nice thing. So the plan is that Rita and the co come up with to kidnap the Ranger's parents and hold them to ransom for the power coins. We have seen on multiple occasions that Rita has access to the Ranger's houses.
Yep.
A, why wait till now? And B, why not try it again later?
Because convenience?
Yeah. There's this really nice moment when they're sat outside. It's Kimberly and Trini are sat on like the weird boxes that have appeared out of nowhere. And Kim says that she keeps wondering if the divorce is her fault, right? And in that single line, Kim instantly has more character development than any other of the original five Power Rangers. That one line. She's the only one that has any kind of depth to her character. Everyone else is incredibly one note, and like when I watched it was staggering to me just how one line could make such a difference given that everyone else is so two-dimensional. Well, all of the other Rangers are so two-dimensional. We've talked about how Bulk and Skull are like the only other three-dimensional characters on the show, but yeah. So the putties then attack Kimberly and Trini. Right? And my note here is why?
To cause a distraction?
Right. But if the plan, as we will see in a few moments is to capture everyone inside the youth center, don't you also then want the Power Rangers in the youth center? Because then you'd capture the Power Rangers as well.
I see what you're saying, but when we get to that part later in this episode, I'll bring a counterpoint at that time.
Right. Okay.
Because I see where you're going. I really do.
And then, as I mentioned, there are some very conspicuous by their presence piles of red, green, and blue boxes that have never been outside the juice bar before. That my notes say, well, these are blatantly just there to throw parties into. And then my next note is, yep.
Well, maybe they're also put out there as decorative for the when the parents came over for Parents' Day.
No. I get the idea diegetically, right?
Yeah.
In universe, the idea is, let's make the outside a bit nicer. But me as the watcher goes, well, a party's good. It's like that, like when you're watching wrestling, right?
Yeah.
And there's a conveniently placed table. You're like, ah, oh, someone's going through that. Right?
Yep.
So then we get more of the party fight. Jason and Zach run out to help. Again, drawing Power Rangers away from the fight when you could have had them captured in the Dark Dimension, which doesn't really make sense to me. My note is, Rita really is her own worst enemy. The next note is, Billy enters the juice bar, not knowing of the fight outside.
Well, no, you skipped the part, because after Zach and Jason come out, the Dremel monster does in fact kidnap the parents.
Yeah, I didn't have any notes for that.
Yeah. So Billy arrived after that happened.
But the fight is still happening outside. The party fight is still happening outside.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess Billy didn't get the memo on that one.
But here's the thing. There's only one way into the juice bar, and it's the front door, which the putties are being fought outside. So how did Billy get inside without seeing the fight? Then Billy gets mind controlled, but given the fact that this is actually the 47th evil Billy we've had in season one so far, it's not really worth talking about. Right, because I'm pretty sure Billy's evil in like every episode in season one at some point. It's a joke. But what it does know is, if you'd waited like 2 more minutes, you could have mind controlled all of the Power Rangers. All of them. Evil Billy heads to the command center. And how does Evil Billy summon the Dragon Dagger? Last thing I know, Jason had the power coin.
Yeah, that one never made sense unless it was something where Jason held on to the power coin and Zordon and Alpha held on to the Dragon Dagger at the command center.
But he summons it out of thin air. It's not like he walks over and takes it out of a box.
Yeah.
If he walked over and picked it up from somewhere, that would have been different. Because I've been like, oh, it's physically there. But like, it's summoned the same way they summon their weapons when they're morphed, right? Anyway.
Yeah, it's weird.
So, once again, Zordon knows the exact monster and its exact capabilities, which we talked about with him having a copy of
the playbook
or whatever. The Rangers morph and can now apparently just teleport directly to the Dark Dimension.
Well, I think that was something where where, like, even Zordon was like, Alpha, have you, like, locked on to
read it? Yeah. But in the past, they've had to use, like, Billy's teleport sticks that create a portal that they have to walk through, right? This time, they just teleport there.
Yeah, and I don't think it's this one. I think it was like a, I think it would, might have been a Doomsday where they did the part where like Rita's palace came down to Earth or something. Mm-hmm. And when Rita's palace comes to Earth, they're able to tap into the palace. So,
right, because it's on Earth.
So maybe they were able to still have some of that coding.
Maybe.
Maybe.
So. Maybe.
We're trying to create logic into a kid show.
The fight in the dark dimension is weird, right? On one hand, Goldar comes off as a complete badass, fighting four morphed rangers. But on the other hand, it makes the morphed rangers look awful, because the last time we saw Goldar fight in the dark dimension in Green Candle,
yep,
Tommy could fight him fine, unmorphed. It's like, where's your consistency? Come on. Right?
And it was Jason who fought him in the chamber, not Tommy.
No, Tommy fights him in the chamber as well.
Oh, okay. That's right. Yeah,
because he takes Tommy to the chamber, and then Tommy has to fight him to get out of the chamber and get his morpher.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Because Jason, when he's in the chamber, doesn't do very well against Goldar.
That's right. Yeah.
Because he's too busy having flashbacks.
It feels so long ago since we've recorded that.
Right. It was only like, what, 20 episodes ago or something?
Yeah.
Something 20 like Power Rangers episodes ago, but like three. I don't know how you're breaking up these episodes, man. At this point, time's irrevocable. My next note is the tune to summon the Dragon Zord is so memorable. However, I will always point out that when Tommy summons the Dragon Zord, even though it's Goldar this time, when Tommy summons the Dragon Zord, it is a man in a helmet with no breathing holes blowing into a flute that sounds like a synthesizer. I will always point that out. Then we have our padding of the episode as we have a full Zord summoning sequence complete with all five call-outs. Kimberly gets one this time. One by one, complete with log-on and power crystal power-up. We get a full-length, slow-motion merging sequence into the tank setup, and then a call-out to turn into robot mode. It is a full, maybe minute and a half of Zords to pad out the episode. And then I was sitting there going, this looks familiar. This looks familiar.
Yep.
This looks familiar. And all they've done is taken the footage of the Dragon Zord fighting the Megan Zord from Green Candle and flipped it. That's all they've done. It's the exact same footage, just the other way around. So, now bear in mind, the way that I write my notes, right, is something will happen, I'll pause the episode, I'll write a note, and then I'll start the episode again. So my note is, so the Rangers are going to give up their power coins to save their parents, even though Rita will just destroy the planet once they've got their parents back. Why? This is stupid. And then I write, even if they, even if she does actually give their parents back, which I doubt she will. And then immediately after that, Goldar doesn't give the parents back. And then we have the cliffhanger with Tommy showing up and Power Rangers gets sad, in my opinion.
Yep.
And I know we're on different sides of the fence on Tommy Oliver. And you need to be glad that Sasha and Brian showed up and convinced me to do this damn episode. But
yeah. So that's
part one.
Yep. And I'm actually going to save the rating part for the end because there's a kind of an interesting note when I looked at them.
Oh, okay.
So I'll save the rating part for the very end then. Which now brings us to Return of a Friend, part two, with everyone's favorite segment, in my mind, the quick run through. Which we begin part two at the command center as Zordon notifies the team that they need Tommy and they transport Tommy to the command center. Jason gives Tommy his coin back and Reed is then confused by Tommy's arrival. Zordon states he needs to transfuse his power with Tommy to give the coin power. Tommy morphs and faces off with Goldar. Another fusion from Zordon gives Tommy more power and knocks his blaster clean off his belt. That really happened. Tommy gets the dagger back, and then Scorpina enters the battle and aids Goldar to battle the Dragon Zord. And some epic new music. This is actually the turning point where we actually really do get really good music from Ron Wasserman. Scorpina and Goldar retreat. Tommy gets the power coins just in time. And then back at the command center, the Rangers use their power coins to bring back Zordon. Rita's angry and sends in the Dremel monster. The Rangers morph into action and everyone but Kim falls under Dremel's spell and they attack Kimberly. Tommy is revived and his powers are restored, morphs into action and breaks the spell. Rita makes Dremel grow. It's now Zord time, and after battling, it's Mega Dragon Zord time and victory. The parents have been freed, and Tommy is back on the team. Back at parent day, Kim introduces Tommy to her parents, and then Bulk and Skull initiate a food fight. And this episode clocked in at 20 minutes and 21 seconds.
So part two, which I have titled AKA... Oh, God, make it stop. We open on the recap, as you said. And the first question that came to mind is, why do they need Tommy? Why can't they just imbue Jason? He is the one that has the power coin. He has been accessing the green powers. And we know that they can imbue people with power. See, the White Ranger. So who cares if the power coins go away? Just make new power. So we see Goldar wrecking Angel Grove with the Dragon Zord, right?
Yep.
And the question was, why not send like 10 monsters to make it quicker? Like...
Why not send the Dremel monster?
Yeah.
Send Scorpina.
Grow Goldar.
Grow Goldar with the Dragon Dagger and also use the Dragon Zord.
Yeah. And then Tommy gets imbued and goes to fight Goldar. And Goldar's first line is empty threats from a powerless ranger. He says to the person stood in front of him, who is clearly morphed. Now, again, I hate to keep bringing this up, but a little bit of consistency would be nice. Because even if Tommy was a powerless ranger, right? This is a quote-unquote powerless ranger that was a match for you in Green Candle when he was unmorphed. but now he's morphed, so he should be able to handle you. But then he gets his butt whooped. I'm just saying, like, and then as he's getting his butt whooped, the party show up, right? And Kim's all like, there's too many of them. Jason's like, he can do it. And then turns the door to the alpha, goes, turn up the power. Hey. Telling Alpha to turn up the power right after you've told Kim that Tommy can do it completely borrows under your point, because she can hear you.
Whoops.
B, the five of you have proven you can kick the hell out of putties even unmorphed, so go help. Now, Tommy is getting whooped, right? And I mean, like, opening up a can whooped, right? And just... and then they just let him walk up and grab the dragon dagger. Like, there's not even a putty stood by it. They're like, oh, there's a force field. He's a Power Ranger! Right? Like... so Rita grows Goldar and sends a grown Scorpina to aid Goldar in fighting the Dragon Zord. And... it makes me wonder why she doesn't send Scorpina to attack Tommy on the ground so that he can't control the Dragon Zord to fight Goldar. Right? Yeah. We hear Go Green Ranger Go, which is a great theme, right? Like...
it really it's is.
Part of one of Ron Wasserman's best. Go ahead.
And like I had said in the quick run through, like, this is actually the beginning of a lot of really good music that starts getting used on the show. Like, not just Go Green Ranger Go, but like Fight, which is where all the Rangers are like fighting putties and stuff like that. So like we do get some really good music.
Did Fight come up before this? I think
it had. It comes up after. Because apparently this was the point where everything, like all the other music, started coming in.
Because I seem to remember doing the episode where Fight debuted, and it was earlier in the season.
Maybe it did. I don't remember.
I don't know.
We've done so many recordings at this point.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah. It's also worth noting that this is the first episode of... this is the first episode of the season to make really heavy usage of Zoo 2 footage from what everything I can kind of pick up from my research. I don't have as many sources as like you or Sasha or Brian.
Right.
But like from what I can tell is this was the first episode to really make heavy usage of like the
Power
Rangers 1.5 footage.
Well, especially with the whole, you know, Tommy Goldar fight stuff. Or yeah, with the putties, because obviously that was filmed in America for that whole thing, because in the Sentai Jew Ranger they don't it's been a while since I watched it, but they don't do it that way.
Yeah,
you know, they don't lose their coins to Goldar, and Tommy has, and then, you know, Bokai has to go get the coins back from Goldar. They don't do that in the Sentai, so that was a completely American ridden set up right there.
Yeah. Jason has an outburst of, he's too weak, Zordon. He'll never make it. Right in the middle of the Dragon Zord absolutely handling Goldar and Scorpina.
I think this is parts where like they just edited lines in incorrectly. Yeah. Because like that should have been when Tommy was fighting the putties and then he mm-hmm. said, turn up the power. Yeah. And then the line where he's like, oh no, he's doing fine. That should have been right here.
Yeah. While they're fighting the Dragon Zord, Goldar points out that the power coins are completely unguarded. 3 feet from Tommy. Like, Tommy has been stood 3 feet from the power coins this whole time. Why has Tommy waited till now to grab them?
Oops.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I can understand having to, like, summon the Dragon Zord and stuff. But we've seen that the Dragon Zord is somewhat sentient, right? Like, it can fight for itself. Just be like, hey, big dude, handle these two for a minute. I got some business to take care of, right?
Yeah. We've also seen the Dragon Zord just, like, mindlessly wandering around for no reason. Like, you know, I'm just going to go out for a nice walk. Ooh, these mountains are very beautiful this time of year.
I need to go get me a Diet Coke and some chicken McNuggets. Right? Like, the Dragon Zord's suddenly like, man, I want Taco Bell. I've run out of detergent to do the laundry. healthy. That being said, I realized that, like, watching this episode, like, as much as I dislike Tommy, my issues with Tommy are on record. I really do like the Dragon Zord. Really do like the Dragon Zord. It might be my favorite Zord, like, for a while. I'll have to think about that. I don't know. So he gets the power coins back, right? So why are the Rangers taking the time to stay at the command center, put Tommy on a stretcher, and doing other stuff like checking panels, right? Rita should be like, oh, they've got the power coins back. Let's murderize the parents and instantly start killing people, right? Like, and by the way, yes, Rita still has the parents. That is still a plot point that I'd kind of forgotten about at this point because it's not been brought up for a while. He said sarcastically. So Rita says that Scorpina and Goldar had the Green Ranger and let him get away. No, they didn't. And no, they didn't. At no point were they winning the fight. And B, they were nowhere near him when he left. Just thought I'd point that out. Apparently, destroying the Dramol will free their parents. How?
Because he was the one to capture them. So by defeating him, restores or brings them back. Which we have seen this trope done a few times on the show.
True. Yeah. Tommy begins levitating in his sleep. Like Neo. Or Jesus, or something.
You okay, buddy?
No, I'm not. And in this episode's That's Not How Science Works moment, Tommy, you are back, and the energy from the force field has restored your powers. Then why did we almost have to lose Zordon to bring him back? Or are we trying to say that Zordon was responsible for the force field?
That's a good question. Is Zordon responsible for the force field?
No. No, he wasn't. It's just awful writing.
Yeah.
So Tommy morphs. We're at the point where four of the five rangers are mind controlled at this point, even though being specifically told how to not get mind controlled, because we've established that the rangers don't actually listen to any instruction that they're ever given. The Tommy morphs into action and jumps into the fray and shoots light rays like some kind of god that changes the atmosphere from dark to light and frees the rangers from Dramol's mind control. Just the Jesus Ranger. It's nearly over. The monster grows, and we get a quick Zord morph sequence as opposed to the extended one from last episode. This one's very, very quick. We have our standard Zord versus monster fight, which I believe ends with the Ultra Zord.
The Mega Dragon Zord.
With Titanus?
No. No. It's just, so what it is, it's, actually, no, that might be with Titanus, yeah. Because it's like all of them or something like that.
Yeah. Because I remember thinking, wasn't Titanus destroyed? Anyway, everyone's dead. And then the parents return and conveniently have no memory of anything that happened, even though Skull had a video camera.
That Kaplan told him to turn off.
But he didn't turn it off. That's kind of the point.
Yep.
So Kim is worried that her parents would be uncomfortable, but they say that regardless of the divorce, they will support her, and introduces them to Tommy. I would like to point out that earlier in the episode, when they teleport Tommy, when they're at the command center and Kim sees Tommy in the viewing globe, she's surprised. Aren't they supposed to be dating at this point? Like, they kissed at the end of Green Candle.
Well, I think it was probably because, like, he had been away for a while, and
okay,
this was like his return, and maybe he was trying to do it as a surprise to Kim.
Okay.
Yeah, because if you remember, like, at the end of the part one, he shows up at the juice bar and it's empty, and he's like, "Where is everybody?" Because I think his whole intention was to surprise Kim. Okay. Yeah.
So so she introduces her parents to Tommy. Right. And then in what is the best thing in the entire two-parter, other than Kim's line about the divorce, it's the only part of this entire two-parter I thought was any good. Bulk and Skull start a food fight. And my note is literally, Bulk and Skull aboard and start a food fight. Best thing to happen all episode. And I know a lot of people like the Tommy Oliver arc in season one, right? With Green with Evil, and then Green Candle, and then Return of an Old Friend, and then going forward until, when does he lose his powers again?
He loses his powers like early on in season
two. Early season two, yeah. I know a lot of people like the arc, and if I take my biases against Jesus Ranger Tommy aside, I can see why, because it was the kind of long-form storytelling you didn't really get in kids' shows at the time, right? But I mean, as an adult, I can't get over my issues with Tommy. It's weird, right? Like, I'm wondering how I would have enjoyed the show if I'd been watching it as a kid. As a kid. Well, not as a kid, because I wasn't a kid in 93.
Yeah.
But as not a 42-year-old man who looks at things analytically. How's that?
That's fair.
Overall, I mean, it was a good way to bring the character back. There were definitely flaws with the way it was done, you know?
Yeah.
And again, the two most standout things in the entire episode are a food fight and Kim's having the guilt of, I mean, because I know a lot of kids that have gone, the parents have gone through divorces, and all of them ask themselves that question at some point, right? Like, was the divorce my fault? And it was really interesting to actually hear that from what is otherwise an often blissfully ignorant show of things like that. But then it's all kind of erased at the end of the episode where the parents are like, oh, we just love you anyway. Like, all that work is erased in an instant, you know? But I don't know.
Yeah. So ratings-wise.
Yeah.
Part one.
Is this where you make me guess?
No, I'm not going to make you guess. I do that to Sasha. So... Part one was an 8.3 out of 10, and part two was an 8.2. So apparently a 0.1 people liked, or in ratings wise, the first part was regarded better than the second. I think it's because there's more that cliffhanger probably left people hanging, and that's why people liked it more.
There's also just more plot in the first one.
Yeah. Because you don't want to say, like, the second episode is just the filler, but, like it was just
maybe... episode is the resolution, right? Yeah. Like, episode one is all of the setup.
Yeah.
And as we know, like, there's the... I mean, when you're talking about, like, a horror movie, often the monster you don't see is more scary than the monster you do see. So when you see a setup like the Power Rangers power coins are gone... and only Tommy can help them, but Tommy doesn't have his powers anymore. That's a really interesting setup. The delivery isn't that great. Yeah. It's what I call the Matrix sequels theory, right? Because I genuinely believe that the second Matrix movie would be remembered as a better movie if the third one had delivered on half of what the second one set up.
Yeah.
So...
yeah, no, that definitely agreed on that one. So, Ben, I just want to say I'm really proud of you, buddy. You got through it. You got through it.
I'm just going to be interested to what I'm going to be able to do with time travel 9 seasons from now.
Well,
I mean, if Sasha and Brian are willing to use it to get me to record an episode of a podcast, oh boy, I'm just going to delete Tommy Oliver entirely. I'm going to go back and convince the writers to never write the character.
But then something worse can happen to me.
Not seeing the problem here.
Damn it. Anyways. Anyways, Ben, where can the people find you on the social medias?
You can find me on Twitter at
Bob T. Goldfish.
You can find me every 2 weeks with Mike doing Voices from the Grid's sister show, Awesome Mania, over at
txhthockey.com/awesomemania,
where Mike and I do all of our conversationing about the goings on in the wild world of wrestling, the pro grappling, the graps, as one might say. And you can also find my written word every 2 weeks over at
txhthockey.com/VFTG,
where I have been chronicling my trip through Power Rangers, because as I will always point out, my journey with Power Rangers so far has been about 13 seasons in a year. I watched season one, and I'm about a quarter of the way through SPD right now, and that's been about a year's time, just a little over that. So I've been writing my thoughts up on each season as I go. These episodes are pre-recorded, so I can't tell you which one is the next one to come out. However, I can tell you as of the time of recording to date it, and because Mike was late to record, I was working on the Lightspeed Rescue column this morning, which I realized I've got to write about like 11 characters. Because you've got 6 Rangers, 2 support staff, 3 main villains, 4 main villains if you include Impus, and Queen Bansheera. And that's just the characters. And then I've got to talk about all the theming, the Zords, the Morphing Call. Oh, God, I love Lightspeed Rescue. I love Lightspeed Rescue.
Yep, and then you have one other thing?
Do I? Oh, yeah.
The Twitch thing.
I have Mike and I, well, not Mike and I, but Mike's friend. And I, Mike and I's friend. Words are hard, man. I'm still worried about that time portal. Mike and I's friend, Mr. NJ, and I do a Twitch stream at
twitch.tv/321_TV,
where we do all kinds of video gamey stuff. Follow that on at 321 podcast. And we announce whenever we go live there or on our personal Twitters.
Then, of course, as always, you can find me on Twitter at thelindenbaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions, and on the website, everything's there at txhthockey.com.
And, I mean, everything's just got back in the swing for hockey for you, right? Like,
yeah, We'll throw this out there for everyone. We're recording this episode in particular on August 1st, when the actual playoffs start.
Yeah.
So,
things are getting busy for Mike on the hockey side of things.
Yes. Just to give people an idea of when this episode is legitimately recorded.
Yeah.
So everything's on the website, txhthockey.com. And as we mentioned earlier, for the show specifically, /VFTG.
Voices from the Grid.
Yep, which is the call letters for the show. So, with that, Ben, my good friend, take us away.
Can I take Tommy away again?
Maybe later.
Okay.
there is a season 2.
There is an episode where he goes away, but it's all the way in Turbo.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's all the way in Turbo. Turbo. Anyway, guys, gals, and online pals, in the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other and party on, Yongin's specific honorifics.
And until our next episode, grab your morphers and may the power protect you.
Peace.